schools get a grant of £3,000 to go away and rewild their school grounds. So that could be things like putting bug hotels in, growing vegetables in a vegetable patch.
Learning that young people know a lot about climate justice. They're not learning about it in schools, but when we speak to them, they're actively saying they understand the concepts of like decolonizing. They understand racism and systemic racism. Young people are telling us that they feel anxious about climate change. And really, a lot of young people we speak to don't realize that they can have an impact in their education. How could schools make you feel less anxious about climate change? A lot of young people just tell us they want to see their school doing something.
I think kind of the way the schooling system is set up right now is that it kind of feels quite segregated, you could say, with like the teachers and the staff and the adults and the grown-ups, and then you've got your students, and it feels very, very separate. And all of the big decisions are being made by, like you said, the governors, the senior leadership, and the students are being left out.
Hello, my name is Mark Taylor, and welcome to the Education on Fire podcast. The place for creative and inspiring learning from around the world. Listen to teachers, parents, and mentors share how they are supporting children to live their best, authentic life and are proving to be a guiding light to us all.
Hi, Jack and Lucy. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Education on Fire podcast. One of the things that I get really excited about are when organisations and projects and things are very student-led, where there's not just a question of sitting back and waiting for life to happen. And I think, especially from an education point of view, let alone a climate point of view, actually people taking the initiative and actually feeling like we're all in this journey together is an exciting project. So I'm really excited that you're here and also really looking forward to diving into it. So thanks so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So, Jack, why don't you kick us off and sort of set the scene in terms of what SOS UK and what the Green Schools Revolution is? And I would talk about Teach the Teacher as well. So why don't you start us off, first of all, about where we're going to head off for, Jack?
Yeah, so myself and Lucy, we work for the environmental education charity Students Organising for Sustainability UK, or SOS UK. So we used to be the sustainability department in the National Union of Students back in, I think, 2021. We then became our own charity. So we were already working in higher education, trying to promote sustainability in the curriculum and sustainable practices. But then by becoming our own charity, we now work across all levels of education from early years through to adult learning, really trying to make sure that sustainability is actively being incorporated into the behaviours of an organisation, getting it into the curriculum, and really most importantly, making sure that students and young people are getting the chance to actively lead on sustainability and sustainable action so that they're being empowered and really being able to take the driving seat in doing the work and gaining the skills. So SOS UK as a charity, we have lots and lots of programmes ranging from biodiversity work with hedgehogs, Teach the Future, which is another one of our campaigns, where we're trying to get climate education through government. But we also have this body of work, so Green Schools Revolution, like you spoke about. Green Schools Revolution, or GSR, as we'll probably shorten it to, because I don't want to say it every time. GSR is really a body of work aiming to help primary and secondary schools, kind of complementing the Department for Education's climate change and sustainability strategy. Lucy, actually, you'll be a better person to talk more about GSR. So do you want to give an overview of what GSR is as a project in SOS?
Yeah, so I'll give a little bit of a background into how kind of GSR came about. So GSR is actually a three-year project, which was launched in January of 2023. So we're actually kind of in the final year of GSR. It's kind of beginning to come to a close now, beginning to round stuff up, but still very, very busy, lots of work going on. And it's been kindly hosted by SOS UK and funded by the I Will Fund and also the OVO Foundation. The OVO Foundation specifically funds Teach the Teacher, which is the group that Jack and I work on. So the main aim, like Jack said, for the project is to support school students to help green their school in line with the Department for Education, or the DfE's, climate change and sustainability strategy. So in GSR, there are some kind of subgroups. So there's CAPS, which is climate action plans. So I actually used to work on climate action plans. It's a group which kind of helps encourage schools to make their own climate action plans, and it being student-led, again, in line with the DfE's strategy. And then we've also got Teach the Teacher, which is, like I said, the group that Jack and I work on. And with Teach the Teacher, we go into schools and run onboardings to help students then go away and teach their teachers. So they run their own sessions with their teachers in schools, teaching their teachers about the climate, also about topics like climate justice, climate anxiety, and things which wouldn't necessarily be covered in the curriculum right now, and also the importance of climate education. And it's a really, really good project, which involves kind of a lot of discussions and hands-on work. And then we've also got Wilding Schools. So this project focuses on rewilding school grounds. So schools get a grant of £3,000 to go away and rewild their school grounds. So that could be things like putting bug hotels in, growing vegetables in a vegetable patch. And again, it's all quite student-led. We encourage everything we do to be student-led. I think it's so important. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add, Jack, to that, or if I've covered everything.
Yeah, no, that basically, that summarizes it. We're really trying to help schools with their operational sustainability and also to get sustainability into the curriculum, all of it involving students at like the heart of the work, making sure that they're driving their work themselves, because they're like key stakeholders in their education. So it's important they're really at the forefront of it.
And I think one of the really key things, like you say there, is being stakeholders and actually feeling like you're on this journey together, whether it's kind of information and knowledge sharing, or like you said about anxiety and how younger people are feeling about climate change, and that sort of being able to do it in a way which isn't, I don't know, not a big deal, but it is a big deal, you know, sort of having that sort of continual conversation about it rather than this is climate week and, you know, that kind of thing, you know, sort of having these ongoing kind of conversations. So I really love that. And I also love the fact that, like you say, each of our environments, whether it's any given school or house or wherever it happens to be, we all make a difference. So as soon as you feel like you're not being told what to do, but you're actually shaping what that is, and I think doing it hand in hand with a teacher and a school body, I think makes a big difference. So where did the sort of the idea for it stem from in terms of being able to marry those two things, which I think is difficult, which is, like say, the DfE saying we'd like this to be the case, but actually then getting a group of people and a project together where you can actually make it a reality and also feel like everyone, taking all of that kind of formality away, it's still actually doing a really good positive thing for all people concerned. Why don't you take us into that, Jack?
Yeah, so the whole project of GSR really started through Teach the Teacher. And Teach the Teacher started because we, in one of our other campaigns, work with a young person named Jodie. Jodie was actively helping us to lobby the government for mandatory climate education. And one day came to one of our meetings and was just saying that they're studying for their A-levels, they're studying science subjects, but they're not actually learning about climate change in school. So if they're not learning about climate change in their STEM subjects at A-level, then there's no way that anyone else in their school is learning about climate change in history or in English. And they just really wanted a way to be able to teach their teacher. They said, I would love to be able to talk to my teachers about the importance of climate education. So we actively worked with a group of young people to say, what is it that you would like to talk to your teachers about? What is it that you wish teachers knew about being a young person growing up in the climate crisis? What is it that you wish teachers were telling you about climate change? And we worked together to make this workshop that then Jodie and Jodie's friends and the other young people who were working with us went out and delivered in their own schools. And off the back of that, we realized, actually, this can be really powerful. Working directly with young people have a lot of energy. They're really inspired to actually take action. So kind of how do we continue to harness the momentum that we have from this kind of one-off stunt that we did? How do we then harness that into doing more work? So we then applied that, applied for funding for Teach the Teacher, while at the same time the DfE's strategy came out. We then realized, well, we can actually replicate this model for climate action plans and for rewilding campuses, which schools are also expected to do. And yeah, it was really just birthed from there. And then hiring a team of young people like Lucy. We have a lot of young people aged 16 to about 22, 23, working with us, actually delivering these projects on the ground and working with other young people in schools. So that's kind of how the whole project came about and how we operate. It's very much young people delivering for our side to young people who are then delivering to their teachers.
Yeah, I love that. And so, Lucy, take us into what this looks like for you. Being classed as a young person, is that the people that you're sort of helping coordinate in terms of this? Is it young people still at school, people who are at university, a combination of all of those things? And how does that sort of fit in with the sort of the rest of your sort of life, so to speak?
Yeah, so you're 100% right with the fact that it kind of spans across education. So we work with students from kind of from a primary level all the way up to university students, and especially recently Teach the Teacher is kind of moving towards a direction of actually working with PGCE students, so trainee teachers. So Jack and I have been to places like Liverpool Hope University, we've been to Southampton University, and already started working with these PGCE students in regards to Teach the Teacher. So from the get-go, when they go into their teaching careers, they've got the tools needed to teach about the environment. I'm really, really grateful for SOSUK and also GSR for creating these jobs, because it's so easy to be asking for people with a degree and 5 years of experience under their belt. And it's, I think, in my opinion, it's growing increasingly hard to get a job without a degree. And as a young person who's currently not at university and can actually struggle in education sometimes, I had quite a difficult schooling period. So I was a bit hesitant about going to university, but I have a huge, huge interest in sustainability and the environment, and have done for years and years. So I'm really, really grateful that like SOS have opened these positions to young people like myself. And I also have got some friends that I also work with through GSR. And I know for a fact they feel the exact same. And also on a more kind of wider overview, I feel like it's really valuable for the students to have someone young and someone who they can possibly relate to more coming in and kind of speaking to them. But it's not in like a patronizing way or anything. Like, we just sit there and we have a conversation. And especially with like the older students and university students, it is more like we're just having a conversation. And it's not like, it's not, I think the dynamic, it's not like a teacher-student dynamic. And I personally think that works really well with the work that we do.
Yeah, I really like that as an idea. And I think as education, we talk on the podcast quite a lot about a silver bullet to change everything. And then on one side, you know, the government controls how that looks and how those things are. And like you say, if you don't fit into that in a perfect way, it makes it really hard for lots of people. But at the same time, education has to be changing with AI and different ways of operating. We know that there are different access points now and different ways of doing it. And I think to have this conversation, like you say, and to say that this is a real life example of how people's lives don't just look a certain way, or how their progression doesn't look a certain way. And also it's based around your interests and what you want to be able to do and to support people. And I think all of those are they're positive in their own regard, but also once you put them all together, as you said so beautifully, Lucy, it kind of gives you that opportunity to then take that forward and actually make a difference in a informal but impactful kind of way. And I think that's a brilliant way to put it. So Jack, take us in a little bit to some of the projects themselves. So if we talk about Teach the Teacher, you're going into schools and you're tell us a little bit about how that sort of works practically in terms of delivering that information. I'm also interested in terms of who those people are in the school that are then helping sort of teach the teacher. You know, yeah. Is it every person in a class, every year group, certain people that get that opportunity? So talk us to that a little bit.
Yeah, so for Teach the Teacher, obviously the end goal of taking part in Teach the Teacher as a school is to support a group of students to deliver a workshop with their teachers talking all about climate change and climate education. For us, what we do is once a school has let us know that they're interested in taking part, we work with them to go in person or deliver online an initial introductory workshop for a group of young people. Typically, the young people will be maybe a school council, maybe an eco committee, maybe just a group of young people who are really passionate about climate and sustainability. And what we do is we talk to them all about climate change, getting them to start thinking about maybe wider concepts than they've thought about. So getting to think about climate justice and who is responsible for climate change, who is going to be the most vulnerable, getting them to think about climate anxiety. Do they feel anxious about climate change? If they don't feel anxious about climate change, what's helping them to feel supported? And if they do feel anxious about climate change, what's making them feel anxious? And how could their school environment actually try to alleviate those feelings of anxiety? And then we talk to them about climate education and getting them to really start thinking about what would an ideal curriculum look like to you? How would you like to learn about climate change in school? So thinking about, is there any best practice from your teachers, or is there anything that you think your teachers have missed? And then again, talking to them about how to communicate on climate change, really trying to upskill them in talking to other people, public speaking, presenting. How do you communicate a complicated topic like climate change in a very accessible, understandable way? So we have this really, normally a really like energizing and interesting discussion with young people. A lot of the time, learning that young people know a lot about climate justice. They're not learning about it in schools, but when we speak to them, they're actively saying they understand the concepts of like decolonizing. They understand like racism and systemic racism. Young people are telling us that they feel anxious about climate change. And really a lot of young people we speak to don't realize that they can have an impact in their education. And we really want to empower them through this initial meeting with them to think about, what do you want from your education? And once we've worked with the young people, start to build their confidence, we send their, they're normally supported by one teacher, normally a leader of an eco club, a science teacher. We'll then send them resources for the students to work off. So we'll send them a presentation and a ready-made script for an hour-long workshop for them to deliver to their teachers that covers a lot of the stuff that we got them thinking about originally. It covers the basics of climate change, climate justice, climate anxiety, and climate education. The workshop itself is ready for young people to deliver, but we encourage them to make changes, to make it relevant to them and to their school, and to really think about what would climate education look like in their school, and to give their teachers practical advice and practical feedback to say, I was in this lesson 2 weeks ago, this is where you could have mentioned climate change to us. So we give them all the resources they need, and then we're on hand if they have any questions for us, if they need any support, if they want to actively learn more about climate justice or learn more about climate education. And then it's really over to them to work with their teacher to find a day and a time and a space to deliver their workshop. So a lot of the time this will happen on an inset day or maybe over a lunchtime to however many teachers they're able to do this presentation to. And once they've delivered this workshop, we then send their teachers resources so that they can see how climate can be integrated into their lessons. So resources that other teachers have told us they're actively using. And for the students involved, we try to give them more opportunities to get involved in climate action. So recently we actually worked with a school to send them to a conference that was happening up in Liverpool to again deliver this this workshop to teachers that they didn't know, letting them to really like build their confidence in speaking about climate change and really feel like they're making an impact. So it's normally us working with a small group of students, one of their teachers, and then a lot of it is handed over to them to really take and do what they want with. Some schools have made games out of it and activities and delivered the teacher workshops as 15-minute assemblies, really like making it dynamic. Other people have really taken the concept and adapted it to the students involved. So talking about climate justice, students are talking about their own experience of maybe moving because of climate change. And some schools have used it as a way to start their own eco committee or to start their own curriculum review, which is actually amazing to have a youth-led curriculum review in a school. So yeah, that, I feel like sometimes I talk about it and I go a bit off track, but that's kind of a summary of how Teach the Teacher works. And it's really great to work directly with young people and basically say to young people, this is yours. Do what you want with it. This is like over to you. We're just here to give you the basics to get you started. But what you talk about is completely your choice.
And what I really like about that is the fact that I think the blank piece of paper, so to speak, is the hardest thing, isn't it? So you could have had all the conversations in the world, but if you then say, right, deliver this hour workshop or this presentation, take the information you've done and away you go, there's a little bit more of a barrier there. Whereas, like say, if you've got the resources, but now you can tweak it and you can organize it in a different way, then actually all you're doing is you're having the positivity and your impact to kind of make it yours, but you've still got all the important stuff that you're able just to meld into your way of presenting, really. And I think that's fantastic. And like you say, that's the ripple effect, isn't it? Like say, a few students, a teacher, which then becomes part of a school conversation and parts of maybe a group of schools and so forth. And how that just sort of progresses from there is amazing. Lucy, I don't know if you've had this sort of experience directly, but I'm curious as to, once you sort of get out of the education side of it, you know, you can talk about climate change. Are they able to sort of think about, well, what's our environment like specifically in our school? You sort of talked about how the school environment is from a grounds point of view, but in terms of, you know, how much energy we're using, how we organising our recycling and that sort of thing. I suppose some of these things may be more obvious than others, but I'm curious, how does that sort of come up in a real sort of practical, this is how our school and how our life is kind of working?
Yeah, so this is actually a really amazing thing that I think links a bit more to the Climate Action Plan's side of things, and also maybe the Wilding School side of things. So when I was doing my work on CAPS, you actually, like SOS/GSR, provide an energy auditor to come into your school. It's part of the CAPS process, which is, I think, I don't know the exact time frame, but it involves an onboarding session, an assembly, 4 workshops, then like a CAP formation session. So it's a bit of a longer program than say like Teach the Teacher, which allows for things like an energy audit to be taking place. And in that, the energy auditor comes into the school and assesses like the energy consumption and kind of how sustainable the school is in a more practical side. Also things like recycling. Many of the schools I went to while I was working with CAPS, recycling was actually a really big one. And obviously we talk a lot about reducing, reusing and recycling. And I remember talking about that when I was in first school, like it has been kind of a practice for years. However, still so many of the schools that I went into, they don't have recycling bins. And I think school-wide practices, they can really kind of set students up for moving forwards and also behaviors that they might take home with them. If they're recycling in school, they're so much more likely to go home and then recycle at home because they're getting educated on what can be recycled, what can't be recycled, all things like that, and it becomes habit. However, if the students aren't able to have access to recycling bins at school and stuff like that, how are they possibly then going to go home and know how to recycle? So a lot of things like that come up within the groups, like CAPS and Wilding. Also with Wilding, obviously now we mentioned about like school grounds, they get they have like a mapping program, like software, and so they map their school grounds. They analyze what local wildlife they get in, if they get foxes, if they get a lot of badgers, if they get hedgehogs, and so they study all of this. And then when it comes to actually rewilding their schools, they then the students can go away, research about these different animals and what can be done to protect them. So things like bees, we've got bee hotels, planting lots of wildflowers. It's a really important thing for the students to actually be actively involved in this and learning about it, because it can then set them up with so many skills going forward into the big, scary, real world they have for them after education.
Yeah, just to say also through Teach the Teacher, we obviously really encourage the young people to talk about what they want from education. But a lot of the times talking to young people, about how could schools make you feel less anxious about climate change, a lot of young people just tell us they want to see their school doing something. So if they're not seeing recycling bins, they don't think that their school cares. And we've been in schools where young people have said, oh, it would be great if we actually like cared about our energy use. And a teacher said, oh, well, we've actually changed to a green energy supplier. So we do actually prioritize that. But because the students don't know that, there's that kind of a disconnect, and it makes it more difficult if you're not seeing your values reflected in your place of education. So we really, like, it is so important for schools to be showing best practice and doing these operational things, having clearly recycled, like clearly marked recycling bins, encouraging people to turn the lights off, because although they may seem small, they have a big impact on what young people think about their school and the pride that they take in their school, which then it also encourages them to take those actions as well themselves.
And I think also, I mean, is a personal story. You know, our house, you know, we've recently had a water meter fitted, our energy, we've been on a meter for that for a little while. And to actively be able to see what those small differences do in terms of, you know, this is how much we've used today, and actually we used nothing at that point when we thought we were using it, and all those sorts of things is really sort of powerful, because you feel like actually, oh, it's all just taken care of, but actually you've got an active role to do that. And I'm glad you sort of mentioned about the bins and things, because that's a really important thing, isn't it? Because if you haven't got a bin and you're having this conversation as part of the project, then the school has the opportunity to go, yeah, actually we're being asked about this, so why would we not do that? And if they wouldn't do it, then they've got to justify why that might be the case. And it probably just is they haven't got around to it, or it's not, hasn't been on their agenda at this particular thing, or this budget round, or whatever it happens to be. And also, I love the energy point of view from that, because normally that, like say, that's a senior leadership thing. It's a governor's thing. It happens above you. You're just going to school and you're going to your lessons. And as soon as it starts to feel like we're all part of the same world and we're trying to do it and we're doing it collectively, we're not just here for you to learn. We're here for us to learn. We're here for us to grow together. We're all making a difference. Yes, of course, that's going to make a difference in terms of climate change from what we're talking about today as a specific topic, but it makes a difference about what your feeling is about school generally and what learning is and how that comes across from you. And that changes how you feel about yourself and how you fit into your local environment and society at large. And like you say, they may sound like small things, but I think from a personal point of view, that probably makes a bigger difference than you think. And maybe Lucy, you can chat about that. You know, you sort of mentioned that school wasn't your first love, so to speak, as you were going through. You know, if you were having some of those conversations, if that was sort of part of what was happening when you were younger, would you think that would have helped or supported, or certainly give you a different perspective about what learning in school was from your experience?
Yeah, I think kind of the way the schooling system is set up right now is that it kind of feels quite segregated, you could say, with like the teachers and the kind of the staff and the adults and the grown-ups, and then you've got your students, and it feels very, very separate. And all of the big decisions are being made by, like you said, the governors, the senior leadership, and the students are being left out. And especially going up into like a senior school level, students have a voice and students have opinions, and they spend, like, we spend so much time in education now. We spend 5 days a week normally, most weeks of the year, obviously taking out some holiday time. So we rack up a lot of hours in school, and we care about kind of the environment, the school environment, the buildings that we're in. Like we grow to love it, you could say. Some people might disagree. And we still feel like we have a duty of maybe care towards the school. And obviously saying, like I like what Jack said about not being in the loop about like changing to a green energy provider, or not really knowing kind of how the school is like going forward, like what the big decisions are being made, like what they are. And I feel like that can be quite frustrating for a student, and it in a way can make you feel like you're voiceless, because senior leadership and like governors and higher up bodies in the school are not necessarily giving students the space to speak up or also be involved in these conversations, which can then provide, like, kind of provoke a feeling of helplessness, and can kind of spark a poor mental health, maybe a generalized poor feeling of mental health with all the students. So yeah, I don't know.
I guess certainly not supportive, anyway, if you're going from that point of view. Yeah.
No, and it's obviously at the moment we're seeing such a spike in poor mental health in regards to young people. And I feel like I understand, because they're kind of constantly going into school, doing their lessons, coming home, and that's it. And it sometimes isn't the best environment where students feel fully included within the school.
So hopefully then what we've been talking about today sounds like a very positive step forward from that point of view, in terms of the conversations that you're having, the opportunities they have, like say, once they're sort of doing their presenting and the projects are up and running. So I feel very positive from an educational point of view on that, as well as a climate standpoint as well. So Jack, maybe you could talk us into the funding side of it. It was a 3-year project. Is it going to be renewed? Do you know? I mean, obviously you might not know some of the answers to these things, but you know, is it a kind of, this was a brilliant idea and now we need another brilliant idea, or the fact that it's been so successful and made such an impact that it might then be able to just sort of carry on?
Yeah, so if we'll take the 3 strands of Green Schools Revolution. So we have Wilding and CAPS and Teach the Teacher. So for Wilding and Climate Action Plans, both of these strands are coming to an end at the end of this year. So right now we're currently working with, Lucy, you might know the numbers, maybe 36 schools between Wilding and Climate Action Plans.
I think it's around that, yeah.
Yeah, so we're currently working with them to finalise their rewilding and to finalise their climate action plans. Off the back of these, we're going to be releasing our own templates for climate action plans for schools, helping them to create their climate action plan in a youth-led way. So obviously, all schools need a climate action plan. I believe it's from September this year, but there's still no real solid advice from the government of what that would look like. So we want to show, through our tried and tested ways, how you can make a climate action plan and involve students, which, like we've said, is incredibly, incredibly useful. For Teach the Teacher, then, we're continuing to run right through to the end of the year as well, continuing to support students to deliver these workshops at their schools. From December onwards, then, Teach the Teacher actually does have another round of funding from the OVA Foundation, who fund us now, moving a bit more towards, like Lucy was saying, initial teacher education. So what we'll be doing from the start of 2026 is working with universities and other IT providers to bring young people in to deliver a very similar workshop that they do now to Teach the Teacher, really trying to flip the dynamic straight away as someone says they want to be a teacher, going to see the youth perspective and really supporting teachers from day one to understand how they can integrate climate into their lessons. But we don't want to just drop schools. So we also are creating a bunch of resources for schools to help. If a school does want to replicate the model that we're doing now and deliver these workshops, we'll have resources for them to actually take part on their own. We just won't be as involved as we have been, as we'll be focusing more on initial teacher education. But hopefully the knock-on effects from working in ITE will also then become known in the school itself. And as these trainee teachers get into their schools, whether that's the placement schools or their final schools that they work in, they can then use our resources and deliver one of these workshops themselves.
Fantastic. And where should people be looking in terms of finding this information, and like say either sort of now while it's still sort of full steam ahead, and then how it starts to change as you go into 2026?
Yeah, so if you look up greenschoolsrevolution.org, I believe is our website, or .uk. Lucy, you might know. Green Schools Revolution, either way. I think we're the only thing with that name. If you look up Green Schools Revolution on our website or on the
.uk. .uk. Greenschoolsrevolution.uk.
That's our website. If you look on there, you can find out more information about each of the campaigns. Similarly, if you go onto the SOS UK website, you can also find out more information. And you can sign up to take part in Teach the Teacher on either of those websites, and also on our social media, which is just SOS UK's social media. There's no Green Schools Revolution. We post updates for everyone to see what's going on in the projects, and that's what we'll be sharing once we've got the finalised climate action plan templates ready to go, and when we're looking for more schools to take part in delivering these IT Teach the Teacher sessions. So anytime a school is interested, look at our website, even if it's not for Teach the Teacher or climate action plans. We have so many other projects that we're always looking to work with schools and young people on.
And I think for me, the other exciting thing is that actually what makes a big difference is that someone going into starting their journey as a teacher, that they're thinking about this as a, what is it that I can bring in? How can I deliver it? How can we make a difference? How can we have these conversations? And I think even if that's just somewhere in the mix of what you believe being a teacher is, as well as the sort of the formal setting which you're going to have to go through, like say if it's a PGCE or whatever, then I think already that just enhances what it's the reality is going to be like for the school that you're going to eventually be in, and also the pupils that you're going to be talking about. And I think this sort of the environment that the two of you, for example, are creating because of your passion for it, because of your experiences and your relationship to schools and learning, I think is a real great testament to what is possible and making change happen a reality and everything that we've sort of spoken about as we've sort of gone through there. So let's just talk a little bit about our FIRE acronym, because it's really important from our point of view here is Education on FIRE, and by that we talk about feedback, inspiration, resilience and empowerment. So Jack, first of all, what is it that strikes you, whether it's one word, whether it's a collective thing, and maybe how that might tie into what it is that you're doing?
Yeah, I think maybe feedback and empowerment together here, but what this really made me think of is through our work, specifically actually working with one school, we're running a Teach the Teacher with a school, supporting them, the students to talk to their teachers. As part of the conversation we were having, the young people were talking to their teachers about, oh, what does climate education look like? How could we improve climate education? And a teacher raised their hand and said, oh, actually, we do a lot for climate education. At the end of all of your lessons, we always talk to you about the Sustainable Development Goals. And it was really interesting that obviously the perception from the school was, oh, amazing, we're talking about Sustainable Development Goals, we're ticking climate education. The young people in the room then were like, oh, we actually didn't really understand what you were talking about whenever you said that. And it was just really interesting to see that, I suppose, like, the students themselves had never been consulted. They hadn't been given the opportunity to provide that feedback and to let the school know how they were doing. And then it was really interesting to have that conversation with the young people and their teachers to really empower them to say, this is how the SDGs would resonate with us. This is what climate education looks like to me, to then help the school shape their curriculum and their education into something useful for young people. Because I think it's so important, like we said, young people are the key stakeholders in education. We need to make sure that what we're teaching young people, they understand it and they resonate with it. So I think, yeah, that feedback and empowerment for me through that one school is really, really just great to see young people taking leadership of their education and being able to shape it into something that works.
Fantastic. I love that. And I love the way it fits into, like, say, that story and that real life example. That's absolutely fantastic. And Lucy, what grabs you as you hear that?
I think for me, being a young person in today's day and age is blooming difficult. It is very hard. Obviously, we've got climate change that we've been speaking about, but also so many other like socio-political issues going on around our world, and with kind of media and, I don't know, the doom scrolling kind of culture, and also like the rise of AI. Like, there are so many overwhelming things going on in today's day and age that young people are being constantly faced with. And I'm so inspired by the resilience that the young people do have when we go into schools and we do run these sessions, and they are, like we've said before, they are so ready and eager to be educated and also to take action themselves. on these big world problems like climate change. And yeah, like I've been saying a lot, like we, I think society sometimes sees young people maybe as a less of a, I don't want to say less of a theme, but as just kind of less in general in regard, like in relation to adults. Whereas, like I've said as well, they've got so many good ideas. Like I said, they're so raring to go. And I'm continually inspired by all of the students that I've worked with. And I can imagine I will be still with all of the students that we're going to work with going forwards. I just think, yeah, they're just always inspire me. And I imagine it's the same with you, Jack.
Yeah, it's great to see young people taking leadership. Like, I wasn't doing that. I wouldn't be doing that. So it's great to see them do it.
But it's a beautiful way to round off, because I think the reality is that we can talk about those things, and it's great to hear those stories, but you can also I think you can take the thread of the fact that I expect that to be the case tomorrow and the day after, because of the sorts of work that you're doing, because you're setting the scene in the environment for people to feel empowered to be able to do that and to make that a reality. So yeah, keep up the great work. I'm really enjoyed today and hearing all about it. And I think, like I say, silver bullet for education, maybe that's not going to happen tomorrow, but I think hearing that all these things are happening on a daily basis, the opportunities are here, that's why this podcast exists. You know, hopefully there's someone listening to it going, oh, that's a great idea, I can look at the website, I can get involved, I know how I can make this part of our next CPD to support people, I can talk to our pupils in a slightly different way, even if the next assembly is talking about we've changed our energy provider or whatever it happens to be. It's going to make a big impact. So yeah, thank you both so much. I really enjoyed the conversation, and yeah, look forward to seeing how the projects progress in future.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire.
Thank you so much to the National Association for Primary Education for their continued support and sponsorship of this Education on Fire podcast. Please do check out their website for everything they're doing, from their YouTube channel to the podcasts to the events and conferences they're putting on. Everything can be found at nape.org.uk. That's nape.org.uk. Thank you for listening and being part of this wonderful community. With over 300 episodes, I've collated 20 resources from guests that have been on the show to help you in your educational journey and those of you involved with young people. Just go to educationonfire.com and you can sign up on the homepage. Thanks for listening to the Education on Fire podcast. For more information of each episode and to get in touch, go to educationonfire.com. Education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire.